feel in this house today. I feel the effects of prayer and fasting that's taken place. And Jesus is on the main line. Earlier last week, I told Rain, she asked me why she needed to do something, and I told her, because I'm the boss, is what I told her. And she said, no, you're not, which I've heard that before. But she said, no, you're not. Jesus is the boss. So, and she was right, and she froze me, and I said, yes, Jesus is the big boss. And I'm thankful for the Sunday school teacher that taught my daughter that Jesus is the boss, and he truly is on the main line today, and praise God. So in our series this month, it's the heart of worship, and that's the focus of the entire month, and it's called the heart of worship. And we've heard about the attitude of worship. That was the first week in January. Brother Keith had taught us that we need to express ourselves and have the right attitude as we come into the house of God in order to worship him correctly. Last week, Brother Cron taught about the expression of worship, regarding the ways we outwardly express the way that we worship unto God. And today I'll be teaching about a time for worship. A time for worship. I've added a couple words to the title, and I believe it's very fitting for this time, but now is the time for apostolic worship. Yes, now is the time for apostolic worship. We have been corporately praying and fasting with purpose, and we want to set the stage for 2019, and worship is the sign of a healthy church. You could tell if a church has been praying and if a church has been fasting by the worship and how they show forth their love for the Lord. There's a distinct difference between worship and praise. Praise is something that anyone can do. Anyone can praise God, and it's thanking him for who he is. It's exalting him for what he's done, and the Lord is truly worthy of praise. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, it says that, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." And God will always manifest himself where there is praise. That's how we see many times when the church or any church will begin to praise God, that he can manifest himself in that situation. Worship on the flip side of that coin, and that's what we'll be talking about specifically today, but worship on the flip side of that coin is thanking God for who he is. So praise is thanking God for what he's done. And worship is thanking God for who he is. You cannot truly worship God until you know who he is. I come to tell you today that Jesus, Christ, and the Almighty God are one. And if there was ever a time that he needed to be worshiped, it's right now. The time for apostolic worship is right now. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." God is a spirit. Let me back up. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is today. I'm glad that I know who I'm worshiping. And I worship him in his excellency. He's done so much for me, and I praise him for that. But I worship him knowing who it is that blessed me. I'm not aiming listlessly. When my prayers go up, I know who I'm speaking to. I know who the Lord is. I know who God is. If we could, just to lay some foundation there, but if we could stand for the reading of my key text for a minute, and find yourself in Psalms chapter 34, verses 1 through 6. The Psalms were a group of 150 spiritual songs and poems, and they were used by the church in all ages to worship. David wrote 73 of them, and we'll find ourselves reading one of the Davidic Psalms. In Psalms chapter 34, I'll be reading 1 through 6. "A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears." They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If we could raise our hands and pray over the service. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask you today that you would anoint the service. Dear Lord, that you would anoint my delivery. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Thus with saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We ask for your blessing in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Psalm 34 is a plea, and it's made by David, and he finds himself emblazoned in trial and tribulation. He's on the run from Saul, and as he was chased from the kingdom, he was anointed. He was chased from the kingdom. He was anointed by the Saul. He was anointed by Prophet Samuel to be over the kingdom of God. And Saul finds himself in a place where he's fleeing from King Saul. And King Saul has him on the run. And David's in a place where he's fearful of his life. And he ends up leaving the place where he was to be king over, fearful and scared for his life. He finds himself on the way to the enemy's territory, to the land of Gath, where Goliath, the giant that he had slayed earlier in his life, is from. How desperate David must have been, knowing that he had to leave his homeland, and he's going into a place where he slew a giant, where he slew a giant, and now he finds himself with nothing but himself and the Lord. Desperation has a way of driving us to make rash decisions. We don't know what was in David's mind, what caused him to flee into that territory, but he was there definitely in fear of his life. He was having moments of doubt without question. But David, whom the Bible calls a man after God's own heart, heads to the city of Nod. It's just north of Jerusalem. And as he flees from the murderous pursuit of King Saul, he knew that he was headed into a dangerous time, and he needed to be into the house of God. Nod was a priestly city. It was a city where the tabernacle was held at that time, and it was where the presence of the Lord was. And David, as he's headed towards Gath, which would be the enemy territory, stops into the city of Nod. He approaches the head of the priest, whose name was Ahimelech, and he's empty-handed, no entourage, and he's looking to hear a word from the Lord. We'll always be able to run into the confines of the house of God when we need protection in our lives. No matter what has happened in our lives, we will always be able to come into the church and feel safe. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and it is safe." I truly feel safe in here today. I feel safe. The priest can see that David is no longer with the party that he would have been with when he was under King Saul's kinghood. No one is singing about how many David has put to the sword now. It's not David and how he had killed his 10,000s and Saul had killed his 1,000. There's no parades. There's no hand claps. It's David, the priest, in the house of God. David has a need, and he's asking the man of God for provision. God will always meet us right where we're at, and many times it takes conflict in our lives or disruptions to put us in a place to truly seek his face, and David has found himself there. But let's read the conversation between David and the priest, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 3 through 6. "Now therefore, what is under thine hand?" This is King David. "Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And we have the youth in here today, but the priest wants to know, have you been carnal, David? Has your group been carnal? And David answered the priest and said it to him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. David, finding himself in a desperate situation, runs to the house of the Lord and was given hallowed bread. Today, as a congregation, I'm trying to present before you hallowed bread. In John chapter 6, verse 51, it says, I am the living bread, the red letters of Jesus, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. During this fast, I saw a sandwich last week, and I lusted over the sandwich, I guess, the bread that I saw. And that's part of my problem today. Forgive me if I seem off. I'm fasting. So please bear with me. I'm fasting, but I have a word from the Lord. And this word that I have is spiritual bread that I'm casting into the congregation today. And Jesus is the bread of life here today. Hallelujah. He shall live forever. David knew that he needed hallowed bread in his life and runs into the house of the Lord. Looking at his character, we can glean from what David has done many times. And anytime you mention worship in the Word of God, you have got to look towards David, a man that was after God's own heart. There is nothing more powerful before going into the enemy territory than the living bread of God. If you know that you're headed into situations, get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God direct you in all your paths. The living bread is provision for the battle, and we fast to stir the hunger for that spiritual bread. That lust that was over that sandwich is not the same as when we fast, we begin to have needs in our body that we want to come into the house of the Lord. We want deeper walks, deeper levels of the Lord, more revelation, more illumination, more light, more hunger, more zeal, more passion, more fervency. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you trust in the Lord today that he is working in your current situation and working miracles on your behalf? David knew how to touch the heart of God, and it was through the heart of worship. And as David flees Israel into enemy territory, fleeing the advances to kill him by King Saul, he finds himself in yet another fearful and distressing situation. He fled from Saul, he went to Nod, where the priests were, and from Nod, he finds himself headed towards Gath, which was Goliath's territory. Now he's taking refuge in the land of his sworn enemies, the Palestinians. And the Bible says that he was feigning himself mad before the king of Gath. Feigning himself mad. It said that he was scribbling on the wall, he was scratching the gates, and saliva was dripping down his beard, which for the part of this study is not going to be relevant, but it's a pretty weird situation to be chased out of a kingdom, to be given showbread from the altar of God, to find yourself continuing to run, and to be before a king that you're fearful of, and I would no doubt be fearful because it was Goliath's territory. David was known for slaying their biggest guy, and he's feigning himself mad. King Achish is his name of Gaul, and he falls for David's portrayal of a madman, which I think we all do. If you see that guy that's a little off at Circle K, you kind of avoid him. He's harmless. And he's able to escape that situation. And that is funny, but he's able to escape that situation. And from leaving a situation where he acted insane, he runs to a cave. And the cave is where the psalm that we opened up with, Psalms 34, it was where it was birthed in his heart. It was out of trouble and despair that David penned these words. Psalms 34, verse 1. And this is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. Abimelech was the king of Gaul, and that's who drove him away. But David starts his salutation, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And it doesn't matter the situation, whether it's good or it's bad or it's sickness or health, the Lord is worthy to be blessed at all times. David says it best with his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And when we praise the name Jesus, fear has to leave. We sing songs about that. When we praise the name Jesus, fear has to leave. Sickness has to leave. So at all times I will bless the Lord, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. David gives us valuable information to glean from here. In verse 2, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We don't see any mention of how dire his situation was. It wasn't, Lord, why am I being chased down like a dog by a man who isn't even obedient unto you? David's fleeing a kingdom from King Saul, a man who's not even obedient unto the Lord. Or the fact that he was in a foreign land of a giant he slew, Israel's sworn enemies. I will bless the Lord at all times, no matter the situation. But rather we see David exalting the Lord, and he's praising him for the things that he's done for him, knowing that if God did it before, he will do it again. If God has worked in our lives before, if God has helped us to overcome things in our lives before, he will definitely do it again. Amen. David was leaning on his testimony, and he had a powerful testimony. The lion that he slew, barehanded. He remembered God showing up in that situation. The bear. Who in the world could defeat a lion barehanded without God, without God helping you? His anointing by Samuel. There are times where we have to look back in order to see forward. We have to look back on what God has done for us in order to see forward and not put ourselves in a place where we're having a pity party, but we're able to continually bless the Lord at all times and exalt his mighty name. His anointing by Samuel, what a time for him to be anointed and then suffer this persecution. But never do you hear David say, why, Lord, why? I'm the one you anointed. I'm the king here. What's happening? Goliath, the imposing giant that struck fear in everyone in Israel, but the shepherd boy was able to defeat him. Leaning on that, in the name of the Lord, the shepherd boy, he defeats him with a rock and a sling. And when he placed the rock in his hand and released, when he released what God placed in his hand, he was able to defeat the giant in his life. God has placed many things in all of our hands today. And if by faith we will release them towards the things that seek to defeat us, by faith and in the name of the Lord, we can have victory over the giants in our lives. Amen. God has placed something in all of our hands today. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. How can we magnify the Lord who is omniscient, someone that's all-knowing, or the Lord is all-knowing, omnipotent, he has all power, omnipresent, he's in all places. How can you magnify that? It sounds impossible, but if we will begin to praise God and stir up the anointing within us, the Lord will be magnified in this place. And it's what happens in our worship. If you will begin to stir up that anointing, that Holy Ghost that's inside of you, that is how you magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Exalt his name together. John 12, verse 32 says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. When we lift up the name Jesus, when his spirit is magnified within us, all men will draw unto us. All men will draw unto us. Verse 4 says, and I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. How many fears I have that were overcome by seeking the Lord. Daily, today, I sought his face. I feel his presence. I feel a peace that overcomes me. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. He worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord for who he was and he knew who he was. We've been praying and fasting as a church in unity, and we're seeking after the Lord for mighty things to take place in the year 2019. If we will seek the Lord humbly, he will hear our prayers. We want a demonstration of his spirit in every service. I want to see a demonstration of the Lord's spirit in every service, and I feel it breaking. We're setting the tone in 2019 for what we have need of and for the Lord to fulfill. Today and right now is the time for worship. It's time. The time is near. The time is nigh. Apostolic worship will produce revival, and we will see the supernatural miracles of God demonstrated in front of our very own eyes. And it happens. The Holy Ghost is the flame. Prayer is the fuse. Praise and worship is the bomb. And that's what explodes. If we will stir up that anointing, if we will allow the Lord to be magnified within us and call and seek after the Lord. Healings, yokes broken, family members coming back into the house of the Lord, recommitting, ministries birth. These are my desires. This is what I'm seeking the Lord and asking him for. Ministries birth, growth within the church, small groups prospering and leading to church growth, members joining the impact team and growing spiritually. I'm seeking the Lord for these things. Hallelujah. The Bible says, wherever two touch and agree, then will I bless that. Can you agree with me today for these things? Do you believe with me today for these things? Hallelujah. They looked up into him, verse 5, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked up into the Lord. And when we turn our eyes to the heavenly and not on the earthly, we can get glimpses of true worship. We can get glimpses of true worship. Dieting will change the way we look. Fasting will change the way we see. Worship will change the atmosphere. And that's what we're trying to get to. It's steps, it's progression. It's one by one, it's line upon line, it's precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. They all work together. They all have to be functioning together. Verse 6, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I feel like that verse was written for me. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I've been living for the Lord for 10 years and it seems like a vapor, but how many times I found myself in distressful situations where I've cried unto the Lord, deliver my soul. I've magnified him. If you see me running the aisles here, I've got a situation. I'm in a cave. I'm in a bad situation. And just to give you a secret, but I want to magnify the Lord because I know what the Lord is capable of doing in my life. So I run the aisle and I catch on fire. And that flame that is within me, I'm trying to catch you on fire as I circle around you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. The Lord hears our cries. Psalms 34 and 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. If we will yield our members and begin to vocalize, begin to vocalize. Praying is not listening to the pastor pray. It's not listening to your neighbor pray. Pray is opening your mouth unto the Lord and professing things. He hears our cries. Cries. The expression of our worship. When we change our attitude, we can express ourselves in worship to the Lord. If we will just yield our members, in worship, the Almighty God can move mountains. He can move situations. In moments of worship, things that have been a hurdle to you or blocking points in your life can be disintegrated in moments of worship. David had learned to rely on God to deliver him from whatever circumstance he had gotten himself into. And if we can glean anything from his life, it was that no matter what, he was going to worship the Lord. No matter what. David was demonstrative in his worship, and he encouraged those around him. And I encourage you today to be demonstrative in your worship. Unless you have a physical disability, there is no reason why you cannot demonstrate your love for the Lord with outward expressions. It's biblical, and we will get to that, but it is biblical for you to express yourself in worship. David danced before the Lord. Have you ever danced before the Lord? It's liberating, because going into it, you're like, I don't want these people to look at me crazy. But the Lord will push and push and push us to where you can't help it. You can't help it. You have got to break free from that self, and you express yourself in worship. But biblical expressions, I do want to finish the service. I'm not closing just yet, but the latter part are biblical expressions of apostolic worship at Grace Point. We pray together aloud at Grace Point because in the Bible we read, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. That's found in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And we start our services with prayer, and we vocalize our prayers out loud because it's biblical. And it's what the book of Acts church did. So we find that here at Grace Point, it's okay that we start out our service with vocalized prayer. We lift our hands in praise because in the Bible we read, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalms 134, verse 2. It's okay to lift up your hands. It's all right. I came out of the Catholic Church. If you lifted up your hands, they would walk you to the exit. And that's truth. And that's truth. And I'm not saying that to make fun of any other denomination. We're not a denomination. I'm not saying that to make fun of denominations. We are the Apostolic Church. And we do things that are biblical. And we are a Book of Acts Spirit-led church. And that's why we do these things right here. So it's okay to lift your hands. And if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you, lift up your hands. It's really liberating. When I see it, it was very windy. We had a cold front come through last night. Woke up, didn't see much rain, but had a lot of wind. And on the way into church today, I just looked at the trees. And the Bible says that he created the trees to worship us. The trees were just swaying. They were swaying a little harder than that, but they were swaying. And I thought that everything in creation was created to worship God in some way. The stars in the heavens show his omniscient power. But we lift our hands, and I encourage you to lift your hands today. We sing with all of our hearts, because in the Bible we read, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that joyful noise does not have to be on key. I won't sing today because my joyful noise will probably not be on key. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let it come from the heart. Be happy about singing. Be happy about being in his house. That's why we're here, and that's why we create environments where we could praise and worship to foster moments where the word of God could come forth and our hearts are prepared. Hallelujah. God breathed life into us. God formed us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into us. He breathed air into our lungs. And in return, when we sing unto the Lord, or when we bless the Lord, or when we pray unto God, it's an exchange. It's intimate when we give back to the Lord what he's given to us, and it's relationship. And as he breathed into us, we have the responsibility to breathe back into him with praise, to breathe back into him with prayer. I sit next to Brother Keith often, and trust me, Brother Keith sings with all of his heart. God bless you, Brother Keith. We play musical instruments because in the Bible we read, and all the house of Israel played before the Lord in all manner of instruments. That's 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. Excuse me. But we play all manner of instruments in the sanctuary because it's biblical. Do you know that there are some churches that don't believe that you could play an instrument in the sanctuary? How on earth could we worship the Lord without the instruments? And I'm so thankful for our praise and worship team and for the job that they do on the instruments. And there's a lot of hard work and dedication that goes into that. We're an instrument-playing church that strives to play with the spirit of excellence. And we promote and encourage worshiping the Lord. We clap and shout unto God because in the Bible we read, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Can we pause for a moment and clap our hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for the triumph today. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you. Yes, hallelujah. He is truly worthy of all that praise. We dance before the Lord because in the Bible we read, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Psalms 150, verse 4, shouting, a shouting service. When I first got into Pentecost, I would hear people say, man, we had a shouting service. And I didn't really understand what that meant. But when we shout, we dance before the Lord. I don't know how long you've been in Pentecost, but a shouting service. And it's biblical. These aren't things that we've just thought we could do on our own and we came up with. From Azusa Street until now, we do things that are in the Bible, and it's okay. And I love to see our youth get involved and begin to dance in the Spirit, and it frees me up. I might catch me a lap. You know, some of us, all that some of us need is a lap around this church. That's all that some of us need. That's all that you need. Some of us are in places, dark places. We're in places where we feel bound up and bound in bondage. Take a lap around the church if the Lord moves upon your spirit. Take a lap around the church. We testify publicly because in the Bible we read, I will declare the name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. That name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. I declare that name today. And I have a testimony. We all have a testimony. The Lord has blessed us so abundantly. He's given us so many things. He is truly worthy of praise. No matter how we're feeling, I'm not feeling good today. You know what? I'm a leap for the Lord, and I'm going to do my very best to praise him because he didn't have to do what he did for me. We anoint with oil for divine healing. This is part of our worship. We anoint with oil for divine healing because in the Bible we read, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. That's found in James chapter 5, verse 14. It's biblical that we worship the Lord that way. There'll be some today that'll come forth and be anointed with this oil right here. And it's of God for us to do that. We allow the operation of the spiritual gifts. We are a spirit-led church, filled with the Spirit of God within inside of us. And we allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate because we read, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath revelation, and hath an interpretation. The spiritual gifts are truly apostolic demonstration. And the Lord has gifted the church to edify the church through the operation of these gifts. The increase of wisdom, the increase of knowledge, tongues with interpretation, prophetic words. And we allow those gifts to be in operation within our services. So if you see them, don't be alarmed. It's a biblical thing. And God has gifted the church today with the gifts of the Spirit. They're there for us to be edified and lifted up. Hallelujah. In closing, if we could stand to our feet, worship is just as integral to the Christian life as prayer and fasting. All of them operate hand in hand for a healthy church body. Now is the time, in this day, when we have such small moments. And I see the youth. You know, on Monday, you guys will be back in school. Our young people, Martin Luther King Day, on Tuesday, you will be back in school. And don't let these small moments with the body pass you up without allowing God to be worshiped, allowing him to be praised in this congregation. Now is the time for worship. Jesus, for who he is, in spirit and in truth. And if we could close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that these seeds of truth would be planted firm within our hearts.